do this, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to give you a heads up. Here's where the sermon's going. I shouldn't do that because it eliminates some of the element of surprise as you discover where it's going. But I think it would be helpful to you today, and I'm trusting you all to be interested. Can I trust you? You're going to be interested? Are you going to hang with me anyway, even though I let the cat out of the box here? So here it is. Here's where the sermon is going. There's a thing in Deuteronomy, and remember Deuteronomy is three sermons of Moses, and he repeats things a lot. You do that in sermons. It's pedagogy, it's teaching methodology. And here's another thing that gets repeated and repeated and repeated by Moses. Not just in Deuteronomy, it's in Leviticus as well, and Numbers as well. But here's the thing. In the Old Testament, when you were in the Old Covenant, there were many, 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 many sins, violations of God's law that you might commit, and there was provision made for restoring your relationship to God and his people when you fell into one of those many, 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 many possible sins. And the scriptures prescribed for you, well, you did that thing, go and offer a pigeon. And that's showing that, all right, I want to be right with God. I'm willing to go and do the thing he told me to do because I'm taking this seriously. I'm repentant and all. Or go and offer it. You did that one. Go and offer up a goat and so on. So there were many, many, many sins that you might fall into. And provision was made for them so that you might be restored to a right relationship with your community and with the God of the community. But there was one sin, and it comes up again and again and again in Deuteronomy and elsewhere. There was one sin which, if you committed it, if you fell into it, there was no offering prescribed. There was no provision made to restore you to rightness with God. It was a sin that was soul-destroying. And what sin, you ask, would that be? It was the sin of idolatry. So today we're looking at many sins, how to deal with them, and the sin of idolatry, and what happens then. Then we're going to find in the pages of the New Testament the very same thing. There are many sins into which a believer might fall, violations of God's commandments. And if we say we have no sin, we're liars, and the truth is not in us. So we got to cop to it. Yes, that's me. There are many sins into which I fall. But provision is made for restoring me to a right relationship with God as a member of the new covenant. And we're going to see that's in 1 John 1:9, for example. If we confess our sins, he is faithful, he'll always do this, and just, it's right of him to do this, to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Bless God. There's grace in the gospel. But in these days of the new covenant, there is one sin for which no provision is made. You commit that sin, and the Bible doesn't say, all right, just go and confess that to God. You'll be restored to perfect fellowship. No, there's one sin which, if you commit, you are not in the new covenant. You are kicked out of the covenant. You have broken covenant with God. Just as they would have broken covenant with God with their sin of idolatry, so you break covenant with God with your sin of what? Well, it's idolatry, though we call it more in these New Covenant days, apostasy. There are many sins, and there's one sin, departing from the true and living God. And when you're out there, when you've done that, you can't just offer up a pigeon and everything's right. When you're out there and you've done that, you can't just confess to the Lord. You say, yeah, Lord, I confess I have forsaken you. There, now it's all better. No, no, you've still forsaken him. You're still out of the covenant, and there's no other offering, there's no other sacrifice for you because you've walked away from the one offering, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, y'all follow me? That's where we're going today. You're going to listen now, even though you got the whole sermon already. But now you want the verses that go with it, all right? So here's the first point I want to make. Let's put it up there. First, I already told you this, but let's see it now. They had sins that could be forgiven. They had a covenant. They were a people who were in covenant with God, the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant. And as members of that covenant, there were many, many, many sins listed in their Bible, their part of the Bible they had then. But those sins could be forgiven. God gave prescriptions for what to do. Let me show you an example. We're going to go to Leviticus. We're jumping ship out of Deuteronomy back into Leviticus because it's more clear and more concise on this. Leviticus 4, 22 to 24. I'll read it for you. When a leader sins. So, all right, let's specify. This is what if a leader sins in certain things. When a leader sins, doing unintentionally any one of the things that by the commandments of the Lord his God ought not to be done. So take every single Old Testament commandment, don't do this, put them in right there. But he does one. And he realizes his guilt. Oh man, I've broken the commandment of God. Or the sin which he has committed is made known to him. Somebody comes and tells him, brother, you're in sin. What do you do? There's provision made. He shall bring as his offering a goat, a male without blemish, and shall lay his hand on the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. So this is the prescription in Leviticus for a leader among the people, one of their pastors or a governmental leader or somebody. And as it says, if they fall into a sin, there was provision made. There was an offering, a sacrifice they could present to the Lord, and they're restored. There's no hard words about, but God's going to come to them with vengeance. No, God's wrath is appeased, and he is satisfied, and all is well. Let's look at this again. That's the leaders. Let's go on a little later in the chapter, Leviticus 4, 27 and following. What about the common people, you and me? If anyone of the common people sins unintentionally in doing any one of the things that by the Lord's commandments ought not to be done and realizes his guilt or the sin which he has committed is made known to him, he shall bring for his offering a goat, a female without blemish for his sin which he has committed, and he shall lay his hand on the head of the sin offering and kill the sin offering and the place of the burnt offering, and the priest shall make atonement for him and he shall be forgiven. So, the whole lot of Old Testament commands for these people. And if you break any one of them, here's what you do. Bring a goat, get the priest, and your sins shall be forgiven. So there were many sins into which one might fall. Leaders, people, alike, everybody. But you were still in covenant with God. There was still provision made. There was a way to deal with your violation of God's law, but it didn't kick you out of the covenant. You hadn't walked out of the covenant. You were still in covenant with God. You just broke one of his commandments. You didn't break faith with God. You didn't say, I'm done with you, God. You didn't say, I'm walking away from God. No, I'm still in covenant, but Lord, I broke one of your commandments. I didn't want to do it. I don't know what got into me. I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me, please? Get your hand on the goat, get the priest, and his sins shall be forgiven. So there were many sins, provision made, stay in the covenant. Next slide. But they also had one sin, just one. One very specific sin, I already identified it for you. It was idolatry that could not be forgiven. The sin of idolatry, which equaled apostasy, leaving God for other gods. And for this sin, there was no offering, no sacrifice, no pardon, no prescription. Here's how you, having committed that sin, can be made right with God. No, you have left God. You're out of the covenant. There's no sacrifice for that. And Deuteronomy frequently, repeatedly, powerfully warns against idolatry with all kinds of different verbiage. Warns about departing from the God, the living God, the God of Abraham, and going after other gods. Let me show you an example. Deuteronomy 29:18. Beware, lest there be among you a man or woman or clan or tribe, all kinds of possibilities, whose heart is turning away today from the Lord our God. There's the thing. It's not that you got mad and threw something at your husband. It's not that you failed to love your wife as Christ loved the church. It's not that you, in a stupid moment, told a lie. It's not one of those. It's not the many commands. This is the one. The one is identified very clearly here. Your heart is turning away from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations. Beware, lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit. By the way, the book of Hebrews deals with this exact issue, as we're going to see later, and it actually quotes that very part of that verse. When it talks about a root of bitterness, it doesn't just mean I'm mad at somebody and I'm becoming bitter. The root of bitterness in its context in Hebrews and here in Deuteronomy is a root of bitterness toward God that helps lead you away from him, to depart from him. So beware lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit, one who, when he hears the words of this sworn covenant, blesses himself in his heart, saying, yeah, covenant, schnovenant. I shall be safe though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. This will lead to the sweeping away of moist and dry alike. It's going to hurt all kinds of different people. The Lord, notice this, there's no prescription made, rather these words, the Lord will not be willing to forgive him. But rather the anger of the Lord and his jealousy will smoke against that man. And the curses written in this book will settle upon him. And the Lord will blot out his name from under heaven. So there are many sins, violations of God's commandments. And if you fall into one of them, provision is made to be restored, to be right with God. And then there's the one sin. Can you tell already? This is in a whole different category. God is responding to this and dealing with us about this in a whole different way. Because this sin is breaking faith with God. This sin is breaking the covenant with God. It's leaving God and going after the idols of this world. Now, let me remind you, we're going to see the same thing in the New Testament. You say, what's this have to do with me, Pastor Steve? This was 1440 BC. Well, it has everything to do with you and me, as we'll see, especially in the book of Hebrews in a few minutes. So there are sins for which there is provision, but not for this sin. Not for turning away from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations. And my brothers and sisters, there are gods of our nation, and some Christians are turning away to serve them. That's why I'm preaching this. We see it again in Deuteronomy 29, a little bit later in the passage, verse 25. Then, that is when, after they've been chastened by the Lord for that, then people will see that and they'll say, it is because they abandoned the covenant of the Lord. Those other sins for which provision was made, they were none of them. They weren't abandoning the covenant of the Lord. You were in the covenant. You loved the covenant. You loved the Lord. You just, in a weak moment, fell into one of those sins, allowed one of those sins. But you didn't violate covenant. But this sin is abandoning the covenant, the God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt and went and served other gods and worshiped them, gods whom they had not known and whom he had not allotted to them. So this is the one sin. It's breaking covenant with God. It's walking away from Jesus Christ. It's saying, I no longer believe all of that stuff. And there's not a pigeon you can offer out there. There's not a 1 John 1:9 prayer you can utter and it'll make everything better. No, you're out of covenant with God. It's a fearful thing for you. This is what we find in the days of the old covenant. Let me give you another one from Deuteronomy 30. This one's a little longer, so can you hang in there with me? Deep breath, please. I'm going to be strong. We're ready. This is a good one. I can't resist it. Deuteronomy 30 is an amazing chapter in many ways. Verses 15 to 20. See, Moses says in his sermon, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you're entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. There's no offering you can make. There's no offering for that sin. You're going to perish. You shall not live long in the land that you're going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob to give to them. Deuteronomy 30, 15 and 20. Are you seeing? Are you catching what I'm driving at here? There were the many sins, provision made. But there's this one sin, and he comes back to it and back to it many more times than you want me to read to you today. And he warns the people about the sin of apostasy or the sin of idolatry, other gods, not the God. A little bit more, Deuteronomy 31. This will be the last reading on this, I do believe. See, I like paper because I could look ahead. Now I have to scroll. Can you all see me scrolling? Is that weird? I'm scrolling with my fingers on. No, is it all right? Okay. Deuteronomy 31, 16 to 18. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, you are about to lie down with your fathers. Then this people will rise and whore after the foreign gods among them in the land that they are entering, and they will forsake me and break my covenant that I have made with them. Then my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them and hide my face from them, and they will be devoured. And many evils and troubles will come upon them, so that they will say on that day, have not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil that they have done, because they have turned to other gods. Okay, so what have we seen? Many sins, provision is made, put your hand on the animal, the priest is going to offer it, sacrifice it for you, you're made right with God. You haven't broken covenant. You haven't stepped away from the true and living God. You haven't gone after idols. But then there's passage after passage, more than I just read to you, that say, but if you go after idols, if you leave off following the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and if you turn your back on him and pursue the idols of the nation, the idols of your day, the idols of your land, you are out of covenant with God. And there's no offering, there's no prescription, there's nothing that's going to make you right unless you actually come back fully into covenant with God. All right, we've seen that. Now you say, all right, we've got that, Steve. We're following you. That's very interesting, Pastor Steve, but what does that have to do with us? Well, as I already intimated, everything. The same thing exists in our day. We're about to see this now from the New Testament. There are many sins into which a true, born-again, blood-bought, redeemed believer in Jesus Christ can fall. And there is provision made, we're going to see. But there's also the one sin that severs you from God and shows that, in fact, you were never regenerated. You were never truly redeemed. You were never born again. So let's turn to the New Testament and see. First, we're going to see in the New Covenant, there are many sins that can be forgiven by the blood of Christ. And just for one blanket statement about that, we're going to go to 1 John 1, 8 and 9. Look at it with me, please. Here it is. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. All right, so no nonsense about sinless perfection. Anybody in this room believe you are sinlessly perfect? Well, I have news for you. God doesn't think so. He says it in his word. So what do we do when we violate one of his commandments? What do we do when we sin? Here it is, verse 9. If we confess our sins, how gracious and easy is that? That's the new covenant pigeon. That's the new covenant lamb, not the lamb of God, Jesus Christ, but the goat, the animal. If we confess, that's what we do. If we confess our sins, that's all. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there you are. You love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, but sin remains till the last day when it's all removed and you're filled by God's grace for eternity. Sin remains and you fall into sins. What did Pastor Gray say last week during communion? He must break a commandment every hour. He must be a terrible sinner, huh? So there you are. There's many possible sins. Bearing false witness. How difficult is it to avoid that and to be 100% honest in what you're about to say about that person you don't like? But you're trying. You're being careful to not bear false witness, but you've bore some false witness, or you stole something, or you failed to love your wife as Christ loves the church, or you failed to show respect for your husband, or evil thoughts crept into your head, or unrighteous anger came out of your soul. You name it, it's a long list, all manner of sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. You can depend on him to do this, and just, it is right of him to do this because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. So there are many, many sins that a true believer can commit. that are forgiven, are covered. You're still in the covenant. You've not broken covenant with God. You've not committed the one sin that's in its own category. But as it was with them, so it is with us. There is still one sin that breaks covenant with God, for which there is no offer of, oh, just confess it and it'll be all better. And what is that sin? Same thing. It's idolatry. It is departing from the true and living God. Jesus warns us about this in John 15. Let's start there to look at it in our New Testaments and verse 6. He simply and plainly says, if anyone does not abide in me, the word abide, the Greek word meno, it means to stay there, to remain, to keep on. This is perseverance of the saints. You keep on believing in Jesus Christ. You keep believing his word. You keep worshiping God. You keep following the Savior. You keep seeking to, by grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, obey his commandments. But if anyone does not abide in me, so they walk away from Christ, or they walk away to something they still call Christ because that gives them a good religious feeling, but they've completely redefined him and he's not the Christ of the Bible. If anyone does not abide in me, what happens to them? Well, it's not 1 John 1:9. It's he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered. When will that be? At the last day. And thrown into the fire and burned. What is Jesus warning about? Is he saying, so if you bear false witness about somebody, here's what's going to happen to you? No. It's not about the many sins into which a believer might fall for which provision is made. Now, this is a thing in its own category. If you do that, he says, you're headed for fire. And what is the that? If you don't abide in Christ, if you don't keep believing, keep following, if you don't persevere as a saint, that's what he's warning about. Now, I'm going to take you to the book of Hebrews, and this is the book of Hebrews. This is what the book of Hebrews is about, mainly. This is the main thing. There were people in the Hebrews churches to which the author wrote, and there were people who were faithful to Christ, but there were others who were walking it back and saying, yeah, that's a lot of suffering. I think I'm going back to Judaism. It was better when I was just a Jew. So I'm going to go be a Jew again, and I'm going to forget Jesus. I'm going to forget all that Christian stuff because it hasn't been easy. Hasn't been comfortable. And here's an interpretive clue to the book of Hebrews. Again and again, the author, I almost said Paul, but who knows. Again and again, the author says, but I am concerned about, and then there's a little Greek phrase, tis ex humon, some from among you. Sometimes it's just the word tis, some. I'm concerned about some, but there are some, but there are some from among you, but there are some among you. And those phrases, variations, are repeated again and again and again in the book of Hebrews. So he's addressing them as believers, and then he says, but there are some from among you. We're going to see some of the tis ex humon passages. How many want to see them? Say yes. That was enough. I'll do that. All right. We're going to start in Hebrews 3, verse 12. This is the one sin. This is equivalent to their idolatry, walking away from the living God to serve and love the idols of the nations. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you, there's that phrase in the form it's in right here, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, there's the thing, leading you to fall away from the living God. So that's a fair thing for pastors to say to their people on a Sunday morning, brothers and sisters, friends, beware. Why is the word beware there? Because this might happen. And because you might not be aware, you might not notice. And what's the problem? An evil, unbelieving heart. Leading you to fall away from the living God, from Jesus Christ, from the gospel, from the word of God. What's his antidote for this? Verse 13, but exhort one another every day, man, every day. That's how weak we are. Every day, that's how important it is. Every day, that's how valuable this is. Exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today. That means as long as you're alive. Once you die, there's no more todays. So as long as you're alive and breathing, get somebody to exhort you and you exhort them, what? That none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, this is from Psalm 95, quote, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. What's the rebellion? That's in the book of Numbers, and it's talked about in Deuteronomy. So he's pointing back to Deuteronomy, those people, what they did when they rebelled against God, wandering for 40 years in the wilderness, and he says, don't be like them. What did they do? They hardened their hearts. They rebelled against God. They were hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, and they left God. The author of Hebrews resumes this in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. Are you with me? Hebrews 6, 4. For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened. You've heard the gospel. You know the word. You're like those people standing in front of Jesus in John chapter 6, and all they can see is, all they can say is, he has a demon and he's insane. They've seen all of that light. You've been exposed to the word of God. You've been in a gospel-believing and preaching church. You're raised by godly parents who love the Lord and lovingly point you toward him. But it's impossible if that's your case. You've once been enlightened, and you have tasted, not ingested, hasn't overtaken you, but you have tasted the heavenly gift. You've been around the gospel, and you have shared in the Holy Spirit. You've been there where he's moving. You've been there where he's powerful, and you have tasted the goodness of the word of God. You've been there when it's opened and preached and read to you, and the powers of the age to come have impinged upon the gathering and the assembly, and you were there. And if you have all of that, now we come to the and then you have fallen away. There's the thing you do. You've had the gospel, you've been in church, you've had godly Christian parents who pointed you to Jesus Christ, you've had pastors who watched and pleaded for your souls, but you fall away and then have fallen away. It is impossible if they have all that and then have fallen away, what's it impossible to do? To restore them again to repentance. You just can't get them to come back because they just got rid of Jesus. And the psychological inertia they had to overcome. Maybe inertia wasn't the right word. And the psychological barriers they had to overcome to cast off Jesus, to walk away. What they had to go through to turn their backs on the true and living God, they're not coming back. That's what he's saying. It's impossible to restore them again to repentance. Since they are, here's what they're really doing. They might not think of it this way. They might still name the name of Jesus, but he's a different Jesus that they've concocted in their imaginations. Here's what they're really doing. Since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt. You walk away from Jesus Christ, it's as if you were part of that crowd that said, crucify him. You're agreeing with them. You're adding your soul. You're adding their voice. And you're treating Jesus, the Son of God, with contempt. Now an illustration, verse 7. Here's what's going on with such people. For land, that's you, that has drunk the rain, that's God's word, that's the powers of the age to come, that's church, that's all. For the land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it, every Sunday the rain's falling on you. Every week the rain's falling on you. Mom and dad got the rain falling on you. They have you reading your own Bible. The rain's falling on you. For the land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated, God receives a blessing from God. But if it, with all that rain falling upon it and all that cultivating, but if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed, and its end is to be burned. It's a solemn warning from the author of Hebrews. There's many sins into which if you fall, there's provision made. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you. The blood of Christ covers all your sins. Bless God. But then there's this one sin, and there's no offering. There's no provision. It doesn't say, if you do that, then here's the pigeon that you offer. Now, the author goes on in verse 23, hang in there, just a little more from Hebrews and then some conclusions. So, verse 23, so let us hold fast the confession of our hope. You see, that's the thing they're not doing. That's the thing that the some from among them are thinking, maybe I won't hold fast the confession of my hope. Maybe I don't want to get in all the trouble that true believers are getting in because the government doesn't like us and the DEI department doesn't like us and the employer doesn't like us and Amazon doesn't like us and Disney doesn't like us and Hollywood doesn't like us and the government doesn't like us. And does anybody like us? Well, the Lord does. But let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Be a steady, solid, convicted, convinced, stable, steadfast follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, who sometimes falls into sins and confesses them and is restored to rightness with God. They don't break the covenant. But this would break the covenant if you don't hold fast the confession of hope without wavering. Then verse 26, a little more. Please hang in there with me. This is good stuff. Hebrews 10, 26. For if we go on sinning deliberately. Now, what does that mean? This is not a reference to deliberately committing one of the many. Every time we commit one of the many, it's deliberate. Can you ever say, oh, I couldn't help it, I lied. No, you could help it. But in the moment, you decided to lie. I couldn't help it that I screamed at my kids. Oh, you can help it. In the moment you decided, yeah, this will be a good thing to do. I'm going to scream at my kids because I feel like it. Now, this is not about sinning deliberately in one of the many. This is about sinning deliberately in the one. It's the whole context, you'll see. Every commentator on my shelf agrees with that. For if we go on sinning deliberately, walking away from God, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, watch these words, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. There's no pigeon for that. There's no goat for that. There's no animal you can take to the priest and be restored to rightness with God. You have left covenant, proving you were never in it. You were never regenerate. You were never a true believer in Jesus Christ, or you would have stayed. Well, what is there? There no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Well, what is there? Verse 27, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Now, another example from the Old Testament. Here's what you're doing. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses, that's what they did. I don't want the law of Moses. Moses schmoses. Anyone who does that dies without mercy. There's no pigeon, there's no dove, on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God? That's the deliberate sin. That's the sin of apostasy. That's the sin of idolatry. They have trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which they were set apart. Visually, they were set apart. They made themselves part of the church and has outraged the spirit of grace. These people said, forget Jesus. I'm going back to Moses. I'm going back to synagogue. I'm going back to be a Jew. Life was better. Oh, I was wrong. There's one more from Hebrews. And then I have conclusions. Good. The clock is liking me today. It's so nice. One more from Hebrews. Hebrews 10, 35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance. Following Jesus Christ is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Very often in that marathon, you're running hard. Your lungs are burning, your legs are filling with lactic acid, your heart's pounding, you feel like it's gonna burst. But keep running. You have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you kept on believing to the last day. You may receive what is promised. For, here's a quote from the Old Testament, yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, that's the one sin, my soul has no pleasure in him. Then the author says to the many in his church, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. All right, end of references. You've endured. Thank you very much. So what have we seen? I think you know what we've seen. Old covenant, many sins, forgiveness, prescription made, possibility made, and you're restored to right relationship with God. But one sin, severs you off from God. It's the sin of idolatry. I'm leaving God. I'm going to go with the idols of my time. Thank you very much. Nothing you can offer for that. There's no longer a sacrifice for that sin. New covenant, same thing. Many sins true believers fall into, confess your sin, you're restored to right relationship with God and his people. But there's one sin, and many other places in the New Testament hammer it as well, and that's the sin of apostasy. That's the sin of going after the idols of our day and leaving off our God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ and Christ and the Holy Spirit. So that's what we've seen. Now some concluding words of exhortation, brothers and sisters. Number one, here it is. So stay, please, by the grace of God, stay in covenant with God. Yes, there are sins. We'll call them little sins. They're not little. Compared to that sin, they're kind of little. There are little sins into which you will fall, and confession restores you to right relationship with God. So, but stay in covenant. Don't commit that sin. Point number two, thank God that your daily sins do not kick you out of covenant with God. You don't lose your salvation because you blew up at your wife. Thank God you don't lose your salvation that you had an immoral thought. You don't lose your salvation that you got greedy and covetous for a little bit there. You don't lose your salvation when you commit the many. But you show that you never were saved if you commit the one. You were never redeemed. You were never regenerate. You were never a true blood-bought child of God. But thank God that your daily sins do not kick you out of covenant with God. Thank you, Lord. Point number three. So keep on confessing your sins. Keep on offering your pigeon. Keep close account with your daily sins. Don't be long after you realize, ooh, I did that thing. I violated that command. Don't be wrong before you take that thing up to the Lord. Don't be long. Get up there quickly. Don't let the sun go down. Keep confessing your sins to God. And number four, remember that bad company corrupts good morals. You want to keep following Christ. Bad company might pull you off of that. And Deuteronomy 13, I wanted that in the sermon, but it didn't fit as the time clock rightly shows me. It envisions and warns against various kinds of bad company that might lead you to idolatry. For example, it talks about false prophets who entice you. Brothers and sisters, are there any false prophets in our day? They're abounding now. They're all right here, aren't they? They're just a couple pushes of the buttons away from you, and you can have all the false prophets on the planet in your ear. Beware of false prophets. And then it goes on to say in Deuteronomy 13, beware of a relative, and it lists various kinds of relatives. Beware of, it actually uses this phrase, worthless fellows. That's not very PC. Beware of worthless fellows in a city who say, let us go and serve other gods. And God warns about the various kinds of people that might lead you into idolatry, into that sin. Bad company corrupts good morals, the Apostle Paul tells us. Number five, and the final one, watch out for the slide that ends in apostasy. It is a slide. No one goes from 0 miles per hour in apostasy to 120 miles an hour in apostasy in 6 seconds. It's a slide. It always starts small, starts slow, then gets bigger, then moves faster until suddenly you reach the absolute tipping point and you have left off with Jesus Christ. Here's how it often goes. There are many possible scenarios. Here's how it often goes. You begin by complaining, grouching about something in the Word of God. Well, I know it's in there, so I'll accept it, but I don't like it. Why would God say I can't do X, Y, Z? You begin by complaining and grouching at God about something in His Word. Maybe you even develop a grudge against God. And then you begin finding ways to nullify those things in the Word of God, to radically reinterpret them, to circumnavigate them, and you might just get to outright denial. I no longer accept that part of the Word of God. You're well on your way to apostasy. In fact, you're already a heretic. And you might still claim to be a Christian, but you found ways to reinterpret and get rid of and dispatch with the parts that made you a grouch. Here's what they mainly are in our day, so beware of these. In our day, very often it starts with teachings of feminism and gender roles in the Bible, you gerrymander those, and the same scripture-twisting skills you employed to gerrymander those, to redraw the lines around those, you will now deftly apply to other passages that also make you grouchy. And next, and here's how we're seeing people go. It often starts there, and next, you might be affirming abortion, and then you're affirming gay marriage, and you find ways to deal with those passages, or you excise them from your Bible, and then you're in favor of gender-affirming care, quote-unquote, and then I have had several young people leave our church in the past year and a half, and they told me this one. I would quote Paul to them, and they'd say, well, I think I'm gonna stick with Jesus, not Paul. That's heresy. And then you'll be uttering foolish things like that, heretical things like that. I think I'll stick with Jesus, not Paul. And then you might become inclusive. Anybody who's sincere in other faiths can be saved in hell, can be saved from hell. And somehow you'll make your Bible fit with all of that. And congratulations, you've become a 100% USDA grade A idolater, and you're not in the new covenant with God. And I won't be surprised if your only doctrine will be love, which you reinterpret to mean, I affirm everybody. Everybody, that is, but real, non-compromising, Bible-believing followers of Jesus Christ, them you'll oppose. Watch out for the slide that ends in apostasy. Brothers and sisters, I close with one verse. Here it is, 1 John 5:21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time in your holy word, and we pray that there would be no root of bitterness springing up in our midst, but that you would give us such grace, such faith in your word, in the truths of the scriptures, that we will persevere, that we will be like the land that bears fruit and brings glory to God, the one who gave the rain. We pray, O Father, that you will save sinners in this room today, that you'll call wayward ones back to the Lord Jesus, that you'll strengthen your people to stand. We ask for all in the name of Christ. Amen. Would you like to talk with a Cornerstone pastor? Here's an easy way you can do that, and we'd love to talk with you. Just text the word pastor to the number on the screen. Thanks, Pastor Rob.